Moving on to agenda paper 8. Yes, thank you, Sue. So going back to leases then, agenda paper 8 analyses comments on the June tentative agenda decision about whether applying IFRS 16, a lessee's incremental borrowing rate must reflect the interest rate in a loan with both a similar maturity to the lease and a similar payment profile to that of the lease payment. So the committee received 15 comment letters on this one, and those comment letters are reproduced in paper 8A. 6 of the respondents agreed with the committee's conclusions for the reasons that were outlined in the tentative agenda decision, with 2 of those 6 suggesting some wording amendment. 5 respondents disagreed with the committee's technical conclusion and think that the requirements in IFRS 16 are sufficient to conclude that a lessee's incremental borrowing rate must reflect the payment profile of the lease. The remaining 4 respondents had some other different views that are described in paragraphs 11 to 13 of the paper. Paragraphs 15 to 43 then discuss all of the comments together with our analysis and recommendations. And based on that analysis, we do recommend finalising the agenda decision as was published back in June and as is set out in Appendix A of Agenda Paper 8. So the question for the committee is whether you agree with that recommendation.
Thanks, Sue. I guess what gave me pause on this was the number of people who disagreed with us. And I mean, if you look at it, we've got kind of 2 of the big 4 and quite a number of the mid-tier firms. I mean, this is something where there seems to be massive diversity on how people have read this requirement. Now, I'll be honest, from my point of view, I was quite comfortable with where we got to on the agenda decision. I mean, I feel that if you read IFRS 16, I think I can get there, but I do think that there's a mass amount of disparity. And I guess it's difficult to say, well, we don't know how this is going to happen. I mean, it's the first year people are doing this, and we're coming out with a really polarized view in terms of this. So I guess I'm a bit mixed in terms of how it goes. I mean, if the majority of the committee felt we'd issue it, I would issue it. By the way, I agreed with the KPMG amendment that they proposed. I know when we get to the wording, we'll take a look. But I guess on the other side of that, I really wonder if we don't need to recommend something else happens to this. To me, this is not just a kind of small issue that nobody's going to notice. This is a major implementation issue. And I think that it's something that if we were going to issue this agenda decision, I think the board should just be aware of it and be happy that they don't believe they need to do something urgent to fix this. Because I just worry a little bit that it's kind of getting a little bit out of the realm of what we should be doing, given the urgency and the major impact that this could have on companies applying a new standard.
Okay. And if we were to propose standard setting, just to be clear, that would be making changes to the front of the document to require that an amortising rate potentially be used?
I guess that's what the debate has to be, but I think we'd need to make sure that there's clarity one way or the other.
Bertrand?
I mean, I understand Bruce's comments, and I also appreciate notably EY and Deloitte commenting negatively against the agenda decision. And honestly, when we applied at Vivendi IFRS 16, it's exactly the way we read IFRS 16. So at the same time, I think still that even having said that, I'm still in agreement with the agenda decision and that we issue an agenda decision as it stands now. And maybe you could strengthen a way of not justifying the agenda decision, but better explaining why we go on an agenda decision, and an agenda decision as worded is probably stated in the staff analysis on paragraph 34. I liked really the sentence, determining a lessee's incremental borrowing rate is not an exact science. It involves estimation considering many factors, a number of which are mentioned in comment letters. For sure, if you do not have a borrowing rate deriving from a contract, then you need to estimate something. And it will be an estimate, whatever the estimate. And so the what you're trying to do is making the most accurate estimate you can, whatever you believe. And I totally agree with the staff when they say that there is nothing explicit in IFRS 16 that absolutely requires you to use a bank borrowing rate, let's put it that way, rather than a bond borrowing rate. And then you perform an estimate, and the rate you use, the incremental borrowing rate you use, is an estimate. And so maybe we could in the agenda decision, reiterate this, not in the last paragraph, but in the paragraph before. When you say, nonetheless, the committee observed that in applying judgment in determining its incremental borrowing rate as defined in IFRS 16, a lessee might often refer as a starting point, blah, 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 blah. Maybe there, yeah, adding something around the fact that the incremental borrowing rate is an estimate. Maybe not saying exact science, not an exact science, but so. To sum up, even if I got a lot of sympathy for EY and Deloitte's comments, because it's the way we read IFRS 16, I can perfectly appreciate that some did read IFRS 16 differently in this instance. And so I appreciate then the fact that we issue an agenda decision, this as agenda decision as proposed in the paper, and we're in September 2019, so IFRS 16 has been applied for 9 months now, so maybe 9 months or 2 years.
Thank you, Bertrand.
The balance would go for this agenda decision.
Thank you. Guy?
I wanted to make 2 points. Maybe the first point is sort of reiterating my own perspective on the definition of incremental borrowing rate. And I still personally think the phrase similar term in the context of determining a borrowing rate inherently embeds payment profile. I can think of a borrowing as a series of payments, each that have a term, and I should incorporate that term into the borrowing rate. But I recognize that, you know, that reading of the definition was not the majority view of the committee at the prior meeting. So if I accept that and the notion that it doesn't explicitly require one to do that, if I focus on the agenda decision now, accepting that there is an explicit requirement in the definition, despite my personal perspective, I am concerned with what the agenda decision is going to do. I think the agenda decision runs the risk of promoting more diversity around this and sort of conveying a wholly free choice. Regardless of what information you have available, you don't necessarily need to pick the better of the two, if you will. And so I thought, similar to Bruce, I think, that the KPMG wording suggestion would be a meaningful improvement to the words in the agenda decision, in that, you know, I think it's essentially saying, well, in a circumstance where you do have a readily observable rate that reflects the payment profile, using that rate would be consistent with the objective of the standard. So it's guiding you to use that if you do have readily observable information that allows you to do so, you should use that. You shouldn't have a wholly free choice to just ignore that and pick something else. So I think if we're going to continue with the perspective that it's not explicitly required, I would be strongly in favor of making that the wording suggestion similar to the KPMG proposal or something along those lines to the agenda decision.
And I feel mean asking you this, Guy, but I'm going to anyway. So if we were to put something along the lines of what KPMG has suggested into the agenda decision to make an observation that if it was not looking at the words, exact words, but if there was an observable rate that was sort of more of an amortising rate, that sort of the expectation would be that you would start with that rate. If you were in a discussion with your clients, what in the requirements in the standard, not the basis, what in the requirements in the standard would you be pointing to support that agenda decision?
I think personally I would go back to what I said at the outset of my remarks. I think similar term in the context of determining a borrowing rate directs me at least to be thinking about payment profile. I don't think that phrase similar term allows me to just ignore payment profile. And if I have the information on a rate that's more associated with the payment profile of that particular lease arrangement, it strikes me that it would be entirely consistent with the definition of IBR to use that.
If you were to enter into a five-year lease and I asked you what the term of the lease was, what would you answer me?
If you asked me what the term of the lease was, I would say 5 years. If I entered into a 20-year lease with one balloon payment at year five, I think I would look at the definition of IBR to say it would be much more aligned with the definition to use a five-year rate.
So can I speak out of order just to answer that specific question? Because if you ask me what the lease term was, I would undoubtedly say it was a five-year lease in your example. If you ask me about a borrowing that was 5 years, I would either say it's 5 years bullet or 5 years amortising. Because if you were talking about a borrowing, just asking me about the time period between the first and final cash flow just wouldn't be an adequate answer to the question.
Jim?
I agree with these staff analysis and the conclusion. I think, as we have mentioned many times, the IFRS 16 is brand new. And just this wording, not explicitly required, is as good as we could go. We cannot just require directly on these similar kind of payment profiles or anything like that. We do notice the word is way too complicated. You just ask, what's the five-year term? The starting month, the ending month, could be a month or two different. Yeah, of course, 5 years is totally different from a 20-year lease. But 5 years starting from now, from next month, or we have a 4.5 year left over, similar is good enough. We'll give the world a little bit time and room to execute the whole package, and we'll keep in mind and see how much difference the world play with us, and maybe a few years down the road, we line them up. And I think that's as good as we could get for now.
Thank you. Young Sir?
I just want to repeat what Guy said. Guy said that this agenda decision will create more diversity. My observation was actually a little bit different. You know, when I was in Korea, I just asked a couple of practitioners about what they're going to do after they read this agenda decision, and what they said was that they will not consider payment profiles in determining the incremental borrowing rate. What he said was that the wordings of the agenda decision is so weak, so it sounds like that the prepayment profile is not need to be considered. So that is, I think, not what we wanted. And also, I think that is not the intention of the committee in the last meeting. In the last meeting, I believe what we said was that in principle-based accounting, if there is any factors that should be considered, even if it is not specifically stated in the standard. So that if I think about, remember what we said in the last meeting, I think as the guy suggested, or change the wording by using some of the suggestions from the KPMG, which is stated in paragraph 39 of the staff paper. And I think they laid out very well. What they said was that when we consider whether the payment profile should be used in the determination of the incremental borrowing rate, we have to think about the board objective. So I think that is really what we have to include in our the agenda decision. So I agree with Guy to change the wording of the agenda decision with the suggestions of the KPMG.
Bonnie?
So I agree with Bertrand. I think that the staff's analysis is appropriate. The conclusion is clear to me that it's not explicitly required, and I agree that the reference to it's an estimate, it is an estimate. There's a lot of things that are, that go into the analysis of how we determine what the incremental borrowing rate is. This isn't the only piece that's an estimation, and frankly, from a preparer's perspective, practical application, there's a lot of factors that we have to take into consideration. If we have 3,000 leases that we need to figure out what a rate is for, I can't go down into each one and kind of make that assessment, at least not any more reliably than I can using some estimates. Now, I'm not saying that that's not material for us to look at, but it's not explicitly required. And so I agree with where the staff have gotten to. I agree with the conclusion, and I would not suggest any further changes than what the staff has already proposed.
Karsten?
I also agree with the staff's analysis for the reasons mentioned in the staff paper, so I'm fully comfortable with that. I think it's perhaps a good suggestion to explain in a little bit more detail why we got there, based on the arguments that are already in the staff paper, to address some of the concerns that came up in the comment letters. Perhaps, you know, mentioning the paragraph on, you know, it's not an exact science. The other paragraph that I think might be helpful is where it's explained in the staff paper that, you know, the reference to the BCs, where it's stated that the board was also mindful of the cost and complex, you know, in estimating that rate. I don't think standard setting at this point in time, I mean, IFRS 16 is just out, so recommend standard setting to me doesn't make a lot of sense. I think, you know, we cannot go beyond what the definition says in the standard. So I'm fully comfortable with the agenda decision, perhaps suggesting that we could add a little bit of wording to explain the reasoning as it's already described in the staff paper.
Lisa.
Yes, I guess I had concerns when I read the conclusion, because I think that even though it's not explicitly required that you should look at the payment structure, I think that it should be, maybe it should at least be considered. So whether or not it's, you know, it's mandatory, it should be considered, and it goes with just the substance of that we should be looking at all the terms and conditions and assessing it. I did have a bit of concerns of the fact that we highlight in here about that it only makes reference in the literature about term and not terms. And so we're really, to me, it's flagging that how do we analyze the standards by only reading the exact words on a page versus really looking at the substance. So I have concerns about putting that into here, because I think people could take that I just have to, that's how I would analyze it to see exactly what it says on the page. So I was really quite supportive. I thought a balance in between to deal with this, not to say that it was required that you had to do it, because I can appreciate that different industries and different facts and circumstances, it could cause a difference in the incremental borrowing rate or maybe not, is that I thought that the proposed KPMG wording actually resolved that. It made it clear, but didn't really change the overall decision that was taken, the tentative decision last time.
Well, as I had indicated at the last meeting, I don't agree with the staff analysis. And the decision that was made, I think you do need to consider the payment profile. Besides, and I agree with Guy about a similar term, I just read the definition of an incremental borrowing rate of interest. The lessee would have to pay to borrow the funds necessary to obtain the asset. I need to know the payment profile in order to determine what the rate of interest is. They're very different, whether it's amortizing or bullet. So won't go through all the arguments that I went through last time and be redundant. The point I want to make is a couple of comments around the table. One, pointing out this is an estimate. Of course, this is an estimate. Don't think we need to do that. I mean, it's just inherent in the definition of the incremental borrowing rate.
if we say that there is no requirement to consider the payment profile, then I don't understand the point about saying, well, but if you have an amortizing loan that's readily observable, there's an expectation or you should use that. If there's no requirement, there's no requirement. I think you totally have free choice. We can't go and say, well, there's no requirement, but if you have something that's readily observable, you're expected to use that. Readily observable is not in the standard at all, and I don't see that expectation. Now, maybe Brian can explain the KPMG comment. I did not read the KPMG comment as creating that expectation. All it's saying is, if you have it, you want to use it, go use it, which I agree with. It's not saying that not to use it is inconsistent. It was the staff's analysis, I think, that later on that kind of creates that expectation, but I don't agree with that expectation.
Brian?
Yeah, I guess my starting point is that I agree that the standard does not explicitly refer to this, but I do find quite a lot of direction in the standard, the requirement to think about the terms and conditions, some of the discussion in BC 162, and also just the notion of it being a borrowing rate. And if the lessee is borrowing from the lessor, then the rate they pay depends on when they pay them back. Yeah, it doesn't depend on the time difference between the first cash flow and the last cash flow. It depends on when they pay them back. So I find direction in the standard. I found direction in the June staff paper. And the thing that really alarmed me over the course of the summer was the feedback I had from people around the world who had looked with great interest at this agenda decision and read it. They had read it to say, or at least they represented to me, that this was the committee blessing an accounting policy choice. So they didn't see a kind of middle ground between explicit statement versus free choice. For me, I am somewhere between those two extremes, and that's what I tried to reflect in the wording in the KPMG comment letter, this notion that just because it's not explicit doesn't mean there's no direction in the standard. And to be perfectly honest, in the time that's passed since we sent in that comment letter, I'm beginning to wish we'd made it stronger, because I'm continuing to hear, maybe more people are back from their summer holidays, and continuing to hear that the committee has blessed an accounting policy choice, which makes me feel very uncomfortable. I understand that this number is inevitably an estimate, and I'm an auditor, so I audit estimates, and it's one of the things I do. But if you believe that there's an accounting policy choice as to whether or not to reflect the timing of the cash flows, when I try to audit that estimate, I have something really weird on my audit file, because I have an acceptable range for my estimate based on one payment profile and another acceptable range for my estimate based on the other possibility, because this is just so often, and I take it, you know, I appreciate there are loads and loads of things you have to think about, but in a big lease, this is one of the dominant things that's driving the estimate. So I do not think it's explicitly stated. I do not think it's an accounting policy choice. Our suggested amendment to the wording was try and drive home the idea that you have to positively consider these things, not that there's an explicit requirement, you have to positively consider them. If anything, I now wish we'd been a little bit stronger. I don't really want to do standard setting at this stage in the life of the standard. But if this agenda decision were going to be finalised and the world was going to say that the committee said this was an accounting policy choice, maybe I'd prefer a standard setting. What would my standard setting solution be? It would be as narrow and focused as it could possibly be, and it would just be to add a reference to the timing of the lease payment to the definition. Now I'm very worried, to be honest, about having standard setting, because that could be taken to bless even greater diversity during the standard setting process. I personally would love to have an agenda decision that couldn't reasonably be read as the committee blessing an accounting policy choice. If that is not possible or is not supported by the committee, I would look for a really, really narrow change to the definition of incremental borrowing rate.
And if we were to put the KPMG suggestion into the agenda decision, and if I was to be asked what the front of the standard supports this observation, what would I point to?
I would say that it was the definition, the guidance in BC 162, and just the notion of what a borrowing rate means. It's the rate you pay to borrow a certain amount of money and repay it in a particular way. Which I agree, I don't have, obviously, I appreciate the question, I do not have an undiscovered paragraph reference that nobody else has identified.
And I probably sound like I'm being difficult on purpose.
No, but I understand the challenge.
I'm trying to make sure that if the committee decides to vote on the agenda decision with this sentence in here, that all of you who put up your hand supporting that are going to be able to defend the question that will inevitably come about how this didn't change what was already required in the front of the standard. Marie?
The way we've seen similar condition was to take into account the payment profile. I do appreciate the fact that it's considered not clear by the accounting committee, but I fully agree with the one who raised the question that we'll have more diversity tomorrow than what we have today, because today I think it was the reading of most people, considering that you take into account the payment profile, so they might change their view, which for us it's an issue. If it's not possible to try, as it was said, to give sort of more direction or to be more specific on the other decision, we definitely understand that it's one aspect, and it's what it was said in this paragraph 34 of the paper, that it's one aspect of the borrowing rate, and that other aspects are also important. I think in that respect, we cannot wait for the post-implementation review just to deal with this issue. So maybe in a few months, because the standard is quite new and just being in place, it's important just to go back and to do a standard setting, which might be a narrow amendment, an annual improvement whatsoever, just to solve the different issue we might have on the incremental borrowing rate, if you have any other, or at least solve this one.
Michael?
I guess my observation is that I think everybody agrees that it's not explicit, and everybody agrees that it's an estimate. And the key thing is what is it we're trying to estimate? And so my own reading of it, and I think this is what I said last time, was that I think that the definition of incremental borrowing rate in similar term, and also B162, means that what we are trying to estimate is a borrowing that is similar with similar payment profiles. So that's why I'd be more personally in favour of the KPMG wording, which I think is more about getting to what you're trying to estimate, and then if these things are material, there's lots of things you may take into account, lots of things you might not, but if it's material to estimate that, then you would take that into account. So that's more my reading of the words in the standard.
Okay. Carsten?
I just wanted to add, obviously, it would, as mentioned in the previous meeting, it would better reflect the economics, I think, if you did that. I just think it's not required by the standard. And also, economically, there are lots of other things that go into the estimation of the liability or that do not go into the estimation of the liability. If you think about variable payments, variable lease payments, extension options by the lessee or the lessor. So there are lots of things going on that don't make this an exact science. So that's the main reason why I'm really not too concerned about this, and also why I think, you know, standard setting wouldn't really change that much in terms of reflecting, you know, let's say the perfect economics, because we don't have a fair value measurement of the liability anyway. And that's why I'm quite comfortable with, you know, just issuing an agenda decision as it's drafted.
Trying to foster more discussion around this suggested amendment, and I'm open to considering it, but I'm really struggling to understand an aspect of this. If we are saying that this should be an expectation to include a readily observable loan with a similar payment profile, you have to consider that because this is an estimate and you're trying to make your best estimate. And this would cause your estimate to be the closest to whatever that North Star is, whatever our objective is. I still have the question of, well, why does it matter whether it's readily observable or not? And it's a true question. I'm not trying to lead you anywhere, but why does it make a difference of whether it's readily observable, and where does that come from?
It was directed at you, Brian.
I'm sorry, if that was a question for me...
No, it's a general.
Oh, okay. I mean, just as a matter of audit trail and document control, those particular words come from the previous version of the agenda decision, which maybe we should have thought about a bit more.
Wait a second, I just want to confer with... Right. Okay. So let's, given I think the general temperature in the room, why don't we get a show of hands on the proposed agenda decision, but including the suggestion that is in paragraph 39 about the board's objective. I won't remind you again about what you're allowed to put in an agenda decision or not, because you'll get sick of me, but you know what the requirements are. If I could get a show of hands in terms of who would support the agenda decision with the addition of the words that are set out in paragraph 39 of the agenda paper.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10.
Turn off. Okay. All right, moving on to IFRS 9.